Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to read one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, verse 9. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read through the first time aloud. You'll read through silently. And then we'll read together in unison the second time through. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. As you're finding your place, if you're able, would you please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now let's read together, please. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our pastor that comes faithfully, preaches to us and loves us and cares for us by preaching the word of God to us. Now speak to our hearts today. Help us to love you better by being obedient to what the Word of God says today to us through the preaching. Help us as your children. And Father, if there's someone here today that's not your child, that has never accepted you as their Savior, I pray before they'd leave this room today, they would trust Christ. Now, Father, for all that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, let me remind you that tomorrow is April the 15th. I wanted to encourage you right off the bat this morning, let you know that tax day is coming. It's tomorrow. Your taxes are due. If your cell phone goes off in the service, your taxes are due now. And so please turn it off or turn it to vibrate. We would appreciate that very much. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Listen now. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You ladies understand, of course, most men don't really pay attention to all the preparation that goes behind something. We know when a meal is not ready, we just don't understand all the preparation that goes behind preparing that. We understand that you do seasonal decorations, many of you ladies. You just got rid of all the spring Easter stuff and now you're putting out the other stuff. And you're probably wondering why after 30 years your husband still doesn't notice that you put stuff out for each season. Forgive us. If you put it in front of the TV, we might see it better. I think that might work. Or if it was on the dinner table, it might make sense to us. We don't understand why when you have a nice dinner, you put two forks out, except that we realize we have two hands and that's what that's for, so we can eat with both hands. We don't always understand all of that. We miss the preparation behind the presentation of something. But we shouldn't. Years ago, when I was able to go to England, I went to a place outside of London called Hampton Court. It's where Henry VIII's castle is. Outside that castle were the most incredible English gardens I have ever seen. There must have been 10 or 12 of them. Now, an English garden is a sectioned off area. It usually has some kind of shrubbery that identifies it, and then they plant all these different flowers in it. But there were 10 or 12 different ones. I happened to have been there at springtime. I went to England while I was in the service, my last year in the service. I was in Greenland up in the Arctic. It was cold, snowy, ice, nothing green. It's called Greenland because it's a lie. It's mostly snow and ice. I left there, flew over, and when I went to England, it was springtime. And I remember going to the castle, the palace there. And when I went outside, I was stunned at the beauty of these English gardens. They were incredible. Flowers in different color schemes and arrangements and all sorts of things. And then every little garden had a gate to it. You'd open it, and then there was this beautiful garden about the size of this center section, maybe a little bit larger. And there was 10 or 12 of those, and they were all different color schemes, all different kinds of flowers. I was just amazed. Did you know it didn't take me much to appreciate the preparation, because I could see that. Somebody had spent countless hours, and be honest with you, years of time to prepare these gardens to bloom at the right time and everything else. I could understand the things someone had prepared for me, so I could just stand there and look at them for a few moments. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Does it ever occur to you, Christian, that God has things he has prepared for you? It's amazing when you think about it. We may miss seasonal decorations, and we may even miss the beauty of a springtime and all the things that bloom. And for you hay fever sufferers, I know it's not a joyful time, but we may miss all of that. But I hope that we do not miss that God has things prepared for us. You know why? Listen now, because of the great love that's behind it. That means God specifically, now listen to me, God has specifically prepared some things with you in mind. God decided in his great infinite wisdom and almighty power, God has decided that there are things that he has prepared for us. This week my mind was just captivated by that thought. The things that God hath prepared for them that love him. God cared enough to prepare things for me. There were things in your week that God prepared for you. There are things that were in your past God prepared for you. There are things that are yet ahead of you that God has prepared for you. And he designed them and prepared them and made them and fashioned them and put them there just so you would experience them in your life. You say, okay, then Pastor, give me the list. I want to hear the list of all the things that God has prepared for me. Okay, but first of all, can we spend just a moment on one simple little statement made at the end of the verse that we do need to see? It does not say that God has prepared them for us. It said God has prepared those things for them that love him. Now, I want to talk to you about some things God's prepared for everybody. No question. But there are some things God has prepared especially for them that love him. We know what Romans 8:28 says, right? And we know that all things work together for good. We like that part. How God can make all things work together for good. But then there is that stipulation to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There are some things God has prepared specifically and especially for those that love him. So if I don't love God, he doesn't have anything prepared for me. Oh, he does, and I'll show you what those are in just a moment. But let's understand that there are greater things and even more things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now listen, it's not that God has prepared them for you, and then when you get them, you'll love him for it. It means you love him before you even get them. It means you love him after you receive them. It means you love them when you didn't want them. It means you love them when it was something you thought, why in the world would God prepare that for me? It has no question. You see, if you love somebody, you don't question what they prepared for you. Have you ever gone to someone's house and they prepared a meal for you and it's not what you wanted to eat? Years ago, we had a family in our church from the Ukraine, and they asked us to come over to their house and have a meal with them. And I said, well, look, you know, I don't want to have hamburgers, so make some Ukrainian food, just what you would normally eat. Let me just say to you this, if you do not know a culture, don't make that statement. You're going to get yourself in trouble, and let me explain to you what happened. So we had, I'm not even sure, remember all the stuff that was there. The only item I remember on the table was something that they called, in English, fish in a coat. It was in a pie pan, and you put mayonnaise in the bottom of this pie pan, and then you put raw salted herring on top of that, and then you put beets on top of that, and you cut it like a pie and eat it. I could see the beets. I like beets. I'm okay with beets. But I said, what is that? And they said, well, in Ukraine, we call it fish in a coat. I said, okay, I'll try it. I'll try it. I tried one bite. That was 8 years ago. I'm still gagging that one down. That's raw salted herring. Do you know how fishy herring is anyway? Do you know how fishy raw salted herring is? I took a bite out of that and I thought, even so come Lord Jesus. I got to get out of here. I don't know what I'm going to do with this right here. I didn't eat it. I just told them. They said, how do you like it? I said, of all the fishing coats I've ever eaten, that's one of them right there. There's no question about that. Whoa. You know, you've ever been to someone's house and they prepared a meal that was not necessarily one of your favorites? But you choked it down. You know why you choked it down? Because you cared for them. You didn't go there saying, well, this food's terrible. I'm not eating that nasty raw fish. You did your best with it because you cared about the person who prepared it for you. Do you understand? I'm saying to you this morning, there are some things God has prepared for them that love Him we may not necessarily have wanted, but the requirement of loving Him has nothing to do with receiving it. It has everything to do with loving Him first, and then when we receive it, it doesn't make a difference what it is anyway because they prepared it for us. Your children draw you pictures, and they draw you a little crayon picture, and they hand it to you, and you look at it, and you say, who is that? Or what is that? And they say, that's you, Dad. And you look at the picture and you think to yourself, I need a day off. You got to be kidding me. That's what I look like, huh? You don't look at him and go, kid, that's nasty. That doesn't look like me. What are you doing here? You just say, oh, thank you. And then when they're not looking, you throw it in the trash. And then when they go to put something in the trash, they pull it out and they look at you and go, Daddy, what? Oh, how in the world did that get in here? Woman, what did you do throwing my picture in the trash? And they get that look on their face like, you didn't like my picture. I love your picture. And now it's permanently put up on the wall. You're getting the picture this morning. You loving Him first is a requirement to getting some of the things that He has prepared for us require loving Him first. But there are some things you don't have to love God for, and He's already prepared them for you anyway. The way of salvation, God has prepared for people whether they're loving God or not. There's nothing to do with it. God has brought the plan of salvation. It was in the mind of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that Jesus would come one day and die on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, to provide us salvation paid for in advance. I did not see this, nor did ear ever heard, nor did it ever enter into the heart of man what God would design when it came to salvation. God's plan is amazing. God's plan is incredible. Years ago, I was working in a lunch meat factory in South Chicago, and one more time, do not eat packaged lunch meat. That's free. This young man that I worked with there could not understand. As I witnessed to him, he could not understand. He said, you're trying to tell me that Jesus died for me? He goes, I don't understand this. And I said, if I could explain it to you how you could understand it, what you'll never understand, Lalo, is this. You'll never understand why God would leave heaven and fly to the crimson womb of Mary and be born of a virgin and walk 33 homesick, sinless years on this earth and then be taken, willingly giving Himself to be nailed to a cross and die for our sins and pay for our sins in Himself on the cross in our place. You'll never be able to understand that. And why 3 days and three nights later He would rise from the dead and then offer us the gift of eternal life. You'll never understand that one, Lalo. I could never explain it to you. But it's true. See, that God has provided that for everybody. So does that mean everyone is saved? No. He has provided you the opportunity, the gift of salvation, but you must receive that gift. You must personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior. You must make a definite and clear and distinct decision in your life that in a moment of repentance of faith, you turn to Christ alone. From religion, from works, from philosophy, from whatever it is, you turn to Christ and say, I need salvation, and you accept Him by faith, accepting Him as your Savior. You ask Him to do so. He gives you salvation. God has already provided that. It's all done. Now listen to me. That's why salvation cannot have anything to do with what you or I do. That's why nobody's church saves anyone. That's why no one's church can give you salvation. God's already brought and wrought the plan. Jesus has already purchased that with His own precious blood. Everything is done, and He even recorded it to it for us in His perfect sinless book, the Bible, to show us that Christ is the way of salvation. God has prepared this way of salvation for everyone. Oh, by the way, and God has also prepared the way for you to get to salvation. You see, that's why we have churches. Well, churches are supposed to declare Christ and salvation, but the truth is the way God provides us to get to salvation is he starts working in our lives. I've seen a lot of young people be very cocky about their life and where they're going, what they're going to do. Well, I'm not sure I believe in God. I'm not so sure of this and blah, 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 blah. Then just get them in a tough situation to see how cocky they are. Not too cocky then. You know something, dear people? Look at me. God works in our hearts to bring us to the understanding that we need Christ and salvation. Now, he may do that by yanking the rug out from underneath the feet of your religion. He may yank the rug out from underneath the feet of your financial situations. He may yank the rug out from under your feet in your relationships. Whatever it takes to get you to realize you need Christ and salvation, God does that. He's provided that thing for you. But then it says now in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but there are some things God has prepared for them that love him. Now, that's talking about a saved person. You know what God has prepared for you, my friend? God has prepared the work of sanctification, whereby God is going to set you apart for himself. Now, let me explain to you what that means, sanctification. The choir sang about holy is he this morning. I was sitting there listening to that choir number, and I thought to myself, that they must sing something like that around the throne of God. Revelation 4 says there's a whole host of people who sing holy, holy, holy. I'm glad for that. That's God's greatest attribute is his holiness. Did you know that God is in desires, once you become a child of God, for you to be set apart for him and what he wants you to do? And God has prepared some things to help you get there. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Would you look at verse number 10, please? It says after verse 9, where it says that the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here's simply what he's saying. God uses this book and the working of the Holy Spirit through this book to set you apart for him. And that's a process of lifetime events. Now listen to me carefully. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him involves, as a child of God, some things we may not necessarily want. I'd like to say this morning that God has prepared some things of pure blessings and provision and caring and kindness. And he does provide caring and kindness. And he does provide things for us. And God has got all these things prepared for us. But there are some things in there that are like fish in a coat. Something we would not necessarily want, but something we would necessarily need. When he said in Philippians, it says, but my God shall supply all your need, not plural, singular, all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For God to make me what he wants me to be, to become what he wants me to become, God has prepared some things in my path to being set apart for him that will come through his word and his direction in my life if I'll let him do it. Do you ever read that in Deuteronomy where it talks about the children of Israel? It's a repeat of their journey from the promise, from Egypt to the promised land. That first chapter of Deuteronomy, I never saw it till the other day. Did you know how long it would have taken them to get from Egypt's bondage and deliverance to the promised land? 11 days. It's all it would have taken. 11 days journey to move 3 or 4 million people across that little piece of the Mediterranean crescent to get them to that land God had promised for them. 11 days. That's all it would have taken. How long did it take them? 40 years. 40 years. Instead of 11 days. You say, well, I know what happened, Pastor Johnson. See, they got out there in the wilderness and they wouldn't do what God said. Makes the journey longer, doesn't it? Oh, I know what happened when Pastor Johnson, they got out in the wilderness and they started worshiping Egypt's gods again. Makes the journey longer, doesn't it? Oh, I know what happened to them, Pastor Johnson. They got out there and they wouldn't do what Moses told them to do by God's direction. Yeah, that disrespect to authority, that makes the journey longer, doesn't it? The whole thing makes the journey longer. Don't you see? They would have been there in 11 days and it took them 40 years to get somewhere that God could have just simply directed them if they would have just let God compare spiritual things to spiritual. To let the Holy Spirit of God, by the presence of that pillar of smoke by day, pillar of fire by night, just let God lead them and guide them. You say, boy, that was foolish, Pastor Johnson. It's still foolish. We have here, ladies and gentlemen, in our hands the Word of God, a more sure word of prophecy than anything we could see or experience. And that book will tell us how God wants us to go and the direction that God wants us to take. And if we'll allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us and control us and use us while we follow that book, we'll get there. God will set us apart for His use. But no, we've got to hang on to this stuff now. We've got to do it our way. I'm going to go as fast as I want to go. I'm going to go as far as I want to go. I'm going to do as much as I want to do, and not you or any other preacher is going to tell me what I'm supposed to do with my life. Get ready for a long journey. What was said was that if you follow the children of Israel's journey there in Exodus and Leviticus, you follow their journey, they just did circles out in the desert. They didn't do circles in Palm Beach. They did circles in the desert. And there's nothing out there. Have you ever seen that part of the country? Looks like God made it and stomped on it. There's nothing out there. And for 40 years, and by the way, in that 40 years, they had manna outside the tent every morning. They had quails come in the camp at night. They had water that came out of the rock. Only twice, by the way, does that water ever came out of the rock. But it was enough to water them for 40 years. Interesting how God can take care of folks. You say, well, as long as you got something to eat and something to drink, I guess that's good enough. Is that life for you? Don't you understand there are things that God has prepared for us? Hey, that means some things He's going to have to take from us. Some things He's going to have to give us. There are going to be some pictures we would not necessarily care to have. There are going to be some things He's going to provide we don't necessarily want, but I assure you, it's all part of the package. See the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Well, I'd like to love Him a little less and get some of the, not have some of the things I've had to have in my life, Pastor Johnson. I know it's old school to say this, but it's still true. But it's the hard times that make us better people, right? Unless we don't handle it right, and then it's the hard times that make us bitter people. America's a nation forged on the fact that people had to go through a lot of stuff to give us what we have today. Yes? We do not have a country that came to us for free. We have a country of freedom, though it's deteriorating, but we have a country of freedom provided because someone paid a price for the freedoms. Agreed? So it costs something to give us something. It's going to cost us something to have something. But is it not worth it to have what it costs you to pay for? What is it not worth it to have to go through something to get it? Don't you understand the things which God has prepared for them? He has provided the things necessary to set us apart. So this work of making us like Jesus and setting us apart in sanctification for His use, He's got all kinds of things in there. And those things, the Bible says, are revealed through that book right there. So as I learn the Bible, I learn what God wants me to do. I do that, the process continues. When I stop and do not do what I should, the process stops. I'm not being set apart now. Oh, but then we'll blame something else for that. Well, that was just, no one should have to do everything the Bible says. Why not? So you're telling me you always do what the Bible says. Shut up and leave me alone. The truth of the matter is nobody does, but the truth of the matter is those who are on the journey are doing the best they can to get there. It's time for us to stop excusing ourselves from the Word of God and step up to it and allow the Holy Spirit of God to take that book through our lives, live it, and let God continue with the things which He hath prepared. Oh, even the things that are difficult, He's provided grace in advance before you get there, mercies that are new every morning. It's incredible. Oh, I do. This may shock you when I say this, but I like to eat. I do. I enjoy meals. Say, what's your favorite meal? Yes. I like the fancy ones that are all prepared. I don't like those restaurants where you go and you have to pick up the parsley to find the food. I'm not real crazy about that. They bring out the dish and it's got this decorations and everything else, and there's a little handful of something in there. You think, please tell me that's the appetizer. That's not the meal. Please tell me that. I'm not real crazy about those kind of meals, but I like it. But listen to me. prepared a deliciously prepared meal that's sautéed and cooked all day long, and the aroma fills the house. That's torture. Or chili dogs. I'm good with both of them. Can of good old rot your gut, clog your arteries, chili, dumped on top of about 4 or 5 hot dogs and a couple of pieces of bread baptized in cheese with onions and sour cream on top of there. Now that is a nuclear meltdown is what that is right there. That's, we'll never use another drop of oil from the Arabs if we just get more people eating chili. There is plenty of energy to be generated, I assure you. But the truth is, I like them all. And I learned a long time ago to learn to appreciate not just the food, but the preparation behind that food. I may miss the decorations, but I appreciate the preparation of a good meal. And I know that there's a lot of thought and preparation and love and care that goes behind that. And I know that when God, in my path to becoming like Jesus, he'll put something there that may break my heart. But the Bible says in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, even the captain of our salvation was not made perfect without suffering. There was something that would have been lacking in the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ if he didn't go through what he went through, some of his own suffering. So it comes to everybody now. It's all there. All the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You say, well, I'm not so sure I'm crazy about those things. You would if you loved the one who gave it to you. If you loved him, it wouldn't make any difference. If you loved him, he could ask anything of you. If you loved him, he could take anything from you. If you loved him, he could provide whatever he wanted to. If you loved him, he could do whatever he wanted to do. It wouldn't make any difference because you love him before the things come to your life. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him also involves this thing of the fact that God has not only prepared us this amazing way of salvation and the work of sanctification, but God has also provided the win of glorification. Now, we often use this verse when we talk about heaven. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And we like to use it about heaven, and it's okay to use that. The context is it's not about that at all, frankly. It's about what God has prepared us for our Christian life through his word. But I don't have any problem with understanding that one day Jesus will come, and all the stuff of this life is going to be over and finished with. Say, when, Pastor Johnson? That's in his hands, not mine. I'm amazed. I am. I'm amazed that we go another 24 hours and Jesus doesn't come back. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that we made it to 2013. I'm just amazed. I look at the situation of this world and I think to myself, Jesus better come soon now. For me, I'm 59, so a good portion of my life is behind me. But I don't want my grandchildren growing up in this world. I don't want them to have to experience what this world is going to become if it keeps going the direction that it's going. And it isn't getting better, and that's not a rocket science determination now, is it? But Jesus is coming soon. When, Pastor Johnson? That's in his program, not mine. It's in the heart and the mind of the Father, and when it's time, the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And at that moment, when the trump sounds and we are raised, and those bodies of the saints that are in the grave are raised, there's a glorification moment where we drop this old mortal flesh and we take on that which is immortal. We take on that which is eternal, and we lay aside this old sin-cursed stuff here, and God gives us a brand new body and we enter into heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen some things in this world that just, they amazed me, their beauty. Some things man made, but for me personally, the things God made just amaze me. And I've stood there and looked at that and I thought to myself, maybe we were in Costa Rica, we went out to a place up in the mountains and there was 3 huge waterfalls there. And this place up in there was just incredible how pretty it was. I remember there's these little steps you walked along beside these waterfalls, and they're 4 or 5 times the height of this ceiling. The pounding of the water and the rock cliffs and the jungle and the lushness of the greenery and everything that went there. And there was a couple places you could kind of go down beside the waterfall and feel the mist and see the place. And just incredible. It was years back we went up to Canada and drove down through the Canadian Rockies and saw the, it was amazing. It's just incredible. Hours and hours of driving, but seeing all the beauty of the creation and nature of God. Couldn't have imagined it, couldn't have thought of it, couldn't have met, took pictures, took video, took, we were stopping every 5 seconds taking pictures of something or shooting pictures out the window while we drove along because of the beauty of what we saw. But did you realize when we get to heaven, in a brand new glorified body that's never going to get sick, grow old, tired, or ever again. And we're reunited with all of our loved ones in a place so incredible as heaven itself. I wonder if we'll spend forever walking around saying, so these are the things God has prepared for us. Now listen, listen, you're not going to look down at the streets of gold and say, wow, streets of gold. You're not going to be that impressed, and I'll tell you why. Because you don't walk down the city in Reading and go, wow, streets of asphalt. Unless you've been to a third world country, then you're glad to see streets of asphalt without potholes in them. They got a Volkswagen laying in there. I mean, you're glad to see streets of asphalt. But after a while, you're not that right. You're not that impressed. You're not that impressed with walking along the sidewalk going, wow, sidewalks of concrete. We just get used to it. That'll be the way it is in heaven. So believe me, we're not going to stand there looking at mansions and gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold and be impressed with the architecture and the structure of heaven. See, the things that God has prepared for us in heaven are going to be the fact we get to see our loved ones, that we get to see them every moment forever. We get to see Jesus. And when we get to heaven, God's just going to resolve all this stuff down here. And when we get to heaven, there isn't any more of that. Oh, listen now. He's got the wind of glorification all squared away. He has prepared these things for us, to them that love him. Is that you this morning? First of all, do you know? Are you saved and are you certain? Secondly, if you have salvation, do you love him now before the things come? Or are you waiting for him to provide you some stuff, answer some questions, then you're going to love him? That's conditional love. That's childhood sandbox stuff. I like you if you like me, but if you don't like me, I don't like you. Do you like me? I like you. Then I like you. Dear Lord, I love you, but if you don't give me what I want, you take some things from me I didn't ask you to take from me, I'm not sure I love you. So if you give me what I want, I love you, but if you don't give me what I want, I won't love you. So there it is. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that already love. And we love him because he first loved us. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.